CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. America's future is at sea. An essay by Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator in the Atlantic Monthly. The telling subhead, the nation is ceding the seas to its enemies. It's not too late to avoid catastrophe. What catastrophe? Let's talk specifically about a new organization called AUKUS, blessed by the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and the Prime Minister of Australia. The ambition is to base attack submarines, the best, the very best, out of Fremantle, which is a naval port associated with Perth in Western Australia, to provide a security guarantee to the Indo-Pacific, the Indian Ocean to the west and to the north, the very critical first and second island chain. The threat is the PLA Navy, which is building plenty of ships quickly and casting those ships out in three levels, as I understand it. There's the warships, the Coast Guard, and the fishing fleet. They're all the same. They're all military affairs, and they move in swarms. They swarm around the South China Sea. They swarm around the Philippine Sea and the Sea of Japan. Jerry, I do not need to come up with a war game. We can pretty easily see how things could fall apart. And my understanding is that AUKUS is meant to answer all of that. How does an attack submarine or three attack submarines, which is the ambition, answer the swarm of the PLA Navy? And what else is necessary to avoid the catastrophe you mention in your essay?
Thank you, John. And so on the AUKUS deal, what we've recognized is China really has come up a way of offsetting our advantage of the technical superiority of our Navy, and for that matter, the British Navy and the navies of the Western allies. They have outbuilt us. So although our ships are marginally more technically capable than those of the Chinese Navy, the fact is the Chinese Navy has 100 more ships than we do. And so at some point in time, their extra number of hulls and missiles will outweigh our technological advantage. However, the area where we still have a significant technological advantage as well as a capacity advantage is in undersea warfare. So we have 50 fast attack submarines that are the best in the world. They're the quietest, they're the most lethal, they have missiles, they have torpedoes. They are technologically superior to the Chinese, and we have more of them. And so as we begun to sort of move out with an undersea dominance strategy, for how we would respond to an attack on Taiwan, for instance, the Chinese have begun to respond by trying to increase their investments in nuclear-powered submarines and quieting of those submarines. So it's good for us that our ally, Australia, has decided to move from a diesel-electric boat, which, though quiet and lethal, is neither large enough to carry a sufficient amount of ammunition on board, or have the endurance to really range up into the waters where we think that the competition or war would occur. So with Australia coming aboard and working with us in the United Kingdom, to build essentially common nuclear-powered vessels, then we're in a situation where we can maintain this strategic underwater advantage. So the AUKUS deal is a strategic move to take advantage of the area where we have still a dominant advantage over the Chinese.
Now we move to the South China Sea. The militarization of islands, actually the creation of islands and then militarizing them, has been a blow to security in the region, to the free trade in the region for some time. Most recently, the Department of Defense, the Secretary of Defense, was in the Philippines to reawaken or to reestablish the American presence, especially in Palawan Island, I hope I say it correctly, which is the South China Sea. Is that adequate to the threat? Does the Navy have what it needs to station out of Palawan, out of Luzon now, Jerry?
So we actually have the littoral combat ships and the new Constellation class frigates that are coming along, which are shallow draft and smaller vessels, are perfect to operate in the South China Sea because of the shallow waters and sort of the numerous islands and inlets that are around there. Palawan is actually a long strip of land that sort of forms the long spine, as it were, of the Philippines as it faces the South China Sea. So Palawan is a great place for the U.S., along with its oldest treaty ally partner nation in the Pacific, the Philippines, to be able to sort of push back against Chinese aggression and claims of territoriality over the South China Sea. These these illegal constructs, because they're not islands. No one under international law recognizes them islands or Chinese territory. These four illegal constructs have been militarized. And although they are stationary, which means that they make excellent targets, they are there and they become increasingly militarized with aircraft and missiles. Those are a threat to the concepts of the free sea and free trade and a threat to our allies and partners in the region.
And finally, I mentioned that I've been teaching myself Oceania, these small independent republics or colonial powers across the landscape. I've mentioned the Solomons, there's Bougainville, but in the northern Pacific, Guam is the Navy base, I understand, that would respond along with Japan to any potential violence against Taiwan. But Guam is surrounded by states that may or may not be influenced by China. This is true across the Oceania. This is not about building ships. This is about the Navy countering this or the U.S. countering it. We have about a minute. Is the Navy aware of this, that dual-use ports such as in the Solomons or in Palau, if it turns towards Taiwan, there's a lot of pressure being brought on all those states. Is the Navy aware that it could lose the advantage because the first island chain would be broken?
Yes, it is aware. And it's communicated that very clearly, actually, to these island states, that because we view these commercial ports being developed as potential military bases in the future, they are, in fact, not only signing themselves up for Chinese economic assistance, right, they are signing themselves up to become military targets in the future. So that's a challenge, and we try to communicate as clearly as we can.
What can go wrong and why? Those are just three small examples. We don't have to get into speculating about the Panama Canal at risk to Iranian bad actors. The essay is America's Future at Sea, Is at Sea, by Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired. He's also the author of To Provide and Maintain a Navy, Why Naval Primacy is America's First Best Strategy. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.